I guess after you get two wives, guys are like, ah! And then a third wife comes along, and they actually say, if you're having problems in, like, when you have two wives, when you're having problems, marry a third, because they'll even it out. So I only ever wanted to be a third. I never wanted to be a first at all, because I didn't want to be married to a guy by myself. And then I didn't want to be a second, because I felt like they were a little wedge in the relationship, and I didn't want to be the wedge. I only ever wanted to be third, because it sounded the easiest.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
There's one thing I want to give to my son. It's my knowledge that just getting by is perfectly okay. Don't have to excel at anything. Hey, Brian, come out here and drink a beer and smoke a cigarette with us. Nope, protecting the pile of cocaine. Tasting it every few minutes to make sure that it's okay for everybody else. I mean, I think back, how many people have actually liked, people have dated me, actually liked me? I know of one. And it's wearing thin with her. Got rabbit head stew cooking now. Start stroking that shaft. Grow a leg and jizz on me.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
And best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us on yet another episode of this, The Commercial Break. It's not for everyone, but fact, news, or fiction is guaranteed in 15 seconds. Did you notice the slight change at the beginning of the episode?
I did. Yes.
No more
aliens.
No more. We can't do it anymore. We're driving people to drive their cars off the road. One lady in particular was like, can you please stop playing the dying cat noise at the beginning of the episode? It drives me crazy. And I'm like, it's not a dying cat. It's Well, I won't even do it. It's going to annoy her.
It comes specifically from a show that we did a while
back.
Yeah.
But if you didn't listen to that particular episode in those 6 seconds of that particular episode, you have no fucking clue what we're doing. And I do have to admit, it's getting a little grating, even for me. Like, I have to listen to the show. Unfortunately, I have to listen to my voice back at least 3 times after every episode. And it is obnoxious, for real. But lest you think that I'm just kowtowing to one person who's complaining, I've had many complaints about it, so I'm just
had somebody that say they couldn't understand
what was being said.
Yeah,
fair enough. So we're gonna move on from aliens, and I've got some other stuff lined
back
up for
yo,
season four.
For now,
back to go. It's goal. Did you not know that?
No, I thought it was yo.
No, take a listen. That is a Spanish soccer announcer going go.
I thought the whole time it was yo.
Where did you think that came from? Yo.
I don't know.
Actually, I don't even know where that sound effect came from. We're getting to the point in the podcast where I have no idea what we even talked about anymore. I've noticed we've started repeating some stories, and I'm like, we got to start. We need that notebook. That fucking notebook. Did you bring the notebook?
I did not.
It's further away now. Why isn't it here? We're talking about the notebook that Chrissy has
remind
promised.
Remind me about the notebook, and I will bring it tomorrow.
This is how bad The Commercial Break really is at planning episodes. Chrissy, 7 episodes ago, was like, we need a notebook so we can write down all the stuff we promised to do so we don't forget it anymore. Yet Chrissy can't even remember to bring the notebook where we remember things. It's so bad. So bad.
I had the notebook in the car one day, even, and I didn't. I should have just left it here. I don't know why. You should have.
This is why the commercial break is destined for mediocrity. It's just that's where we're going to stay. I mean, A for effort, we're trying. We actually have a writer's room coming up.
Yeah,
we do. But if we don't write anything down, we won't remember that either.
Okay, I'll definitely bring it for the writer's room.
You
That's
definitely got to bring it. Yeah, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, which is yesterday for a lot of people who are listening to this. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
I know the answer to this because I think it's true of everybody. Have you ever embellished on a resume or a job application? You know, just gone take it a little extra.
Sure. I mean, maybe not. I've never lied about where I've worked.
No,
but maybe
the
duties, the things, the responsibilities.
Yeah, I've never lied about directly where I work.
Yeah,
but I might
have
made up some titles and stuff
sure.
like that. Like, you know.
Yeah. Well, no, I think I'm director of marketing right now.
Chief
for
directing operator of all things interactive. Yeah. Terminus Records. What are you, you're the what? Directed.
The director of marketing.
For like, you know, the commercial break, the company, we have to set up like titles. And Aster's like, what is the title for this person? I'm like, make it fucking up. Who fucking cares what it is?
It doesn't matter.
Put anything. And I certainly have put a
lot
of...
We're never getting any other kind of job. So.
No. It's the chief operating officer of no job ever. Never again employed. Well, you know, we're not a political show, and I don't want to make this about politics, but there's this guy, George Santos, and this whole thing is really fascinating me because regardless of what side of the aisle he's on, I just can't believe that we as a society have, embellishing on your resume is one thing.
Yeah.
Like maybe, you know, upping the title a little bit, right? You're the...
Or you did some things that maybe you just... did once.
You're like the direct, you're the director of marketing, and then you put, you know, chief director of marketing or whatever. Yeah. Because no one's ever going to find that out.
Right.
It doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. No one really fucking cares. Yeah. But this guy, George Santos, it's like he lied about every single fucking thing on his resume and then ran for Congress. Yeah. And then he got found out by everybody. And now there's a big question mark about whether or not he should go to Congress.
Yeah.
In my personal opinion, I think if he embellished a couple of job titles, everybody does it. Like, don't be the guy who throws glass, you know, stones in a glass house. But when you lie about everything, up to and including where you're born, who your mother is, you know, what schools you went to, every single thing, whether or not you're Jewish, he claimed to be Jewish. He's Catholic. He claimed his mom is from Ukraine. Their family heritage has been Brazilian for 280 years. It's like, dude, you took it further.
Yeah.
Remember that one time my buddy took it further at the Further Fest and he took all the drugs before the Further Fest?
Before you went to the show.
I feel like Santos took it further. It's just insane to me. I mean, Santos doesn't sound like a very Ukrainian name in the first place, does it?
It sounds Brazilian,
Brazilian, yeah. But I mean, I was just reading through a lot of stories and like advice columns. I looked up lying on resume, and it seems like everybody in the world has done it. There are thousands, and I mean tens of thousands of posts, and I probably read through 50 of them, of people explaining that they embellished on their resume. Some of them got caught doing it. And I actually know someone in my personal life who claimed to have graduated from a rather prestigious university, but did not even attend.
I've heard of that
half a year.
Yes. Then I think it's like your schooling.
Yeah, your schooling, your education level, or which
what school you went to.
Yeah, which institution of higher learning you went to. Right now, if you went to like DeKalb Technical School and you claim to have gone to Harvard, you know that's a big lie.
Yes,
if you went to University of Illinois and then you say you went to the State College of Illinois or whatever. I don't know. I mean, you know, like, there's a little line right there. When you cross it, it just makes it's just a little too much.
Yeah.
And what surprises me is that it's even a question about whether this guy should go to Congress. I don't care if it's a Republican or Democrat. Put another Republican in office, you know, choose another Republican to go in office to for whatever reason, make it fair. Yeah. That way the people's votes, the people who voted Republican, you know, they don't get their votes squashed. But at the same time, should we be sending someone who has a real disconnected idea of what truth is?
No, I don't think so.
It's just fascinating to me. But apparently everyone has done this. Everyone has lied on a resume. So it got me thinking, if everybody has lied on a resume, I want to hear what the worst lie on a resume ever has been. So it's up to you in the TCB universe. We want to hear what your worst resume lie was, your embellishment, the embellishment you used to get employment, gain employment, or stay employed, or get a raise, or whatever it was. TCB, 855-TCB-8383, 855-TCB-8383.
Are you embellishing our number?
My tongue's embellishing. TCB, you know the fucking number, tcbpodcast.com. Go to the Contact Us page, write us, season number 4. This is where we need the notebook so we can remember this. I have a special episode that I have lined up, and resume lies is part of that episode.
Okay,
just
great.
Wait until you hear it. I think you're going to like it. We're going to need a notebook so that we can remember to actually do it.
The notebook will make an appearance.
Have you ever seen The Notebook, the movie?
Yes.
Is it good?
Oh, I love it.
Why do so many people love that movie?
I love it. It's so sweet.
Is that with Ryan Reynolds? Or not him, Ryan Phillippe?
No, it's Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. And what is the story about?
Oh, I can't even explain it.
Is it a love story?
Yes,
does
it's
he
a
die?
Love story. No.
He doesn't die?
No.
Is he almost dead?
It's a double love story, kind of.
Oh, it's like a polyamorous love story.
No.
Is it a gangbang movie?
No, it's a love story about when they were young and then when they're older, but you don't know the older couple is the younger couple until the end. Mm. And it's really sweet.
It's kind of like that stupid show that was on TV for a while. What was that? The show with the made of This Is Us, Everybody Cry?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like where they had the present day and then the past and then the present day and then the past. Mm-hmm. I can't keep up with a show that asks me to do that much work. It's just, that's why.
You need a notebook.
That's why TLC is on my my wife. Yeah, the other day she was like, is there another fucking channel besides TLC that we can watch in this house? And I'm like, but it's another episode of I Am Shauna Ray. She's only 3 feet tall. She's 36 years old. Come on.
I can't
this woman's
take
trying
it.
To live.
I wouldn't be able to take it either.
I Am Shauna Ray is like the number one new show on TLC. That matters to anybody. I don't think it does.
No.
Right? But that 90 Day Fiancé is on 24 hours a day. They have 15 different versions
of
it.
That's their hit show.
I almost can't keep up with it anymore. And I'm kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
But this new I Am Shauna Ray, I told you about this.
Yes.
This girl.
We did a show about her before.
Yeah, that's right. This girl's like 3 feet tall and she looks like an 11-year-old girl. And she is 22 or 23 now. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, I think it's a really interesting like societal question. Like, can a girl who looks 11 have a mature, intimate relationship with a man who is clearly does not look like he's 11 years old? And what are the motives behind that relationship? So it's exploring her love life in this season number two. It's exploring her love life. And I can't help but feeling
exploring
as the father.
Some perverts.
It's, yeah, fucking A, man. The fuck, dude?
Yeah.
You know, there's not an. And I get it. Like, Shauna Ray deserves love just like everybody else.
Yeah. I think the only way that's okay is if she actually went to school with someone. And grew up
together.
Loved,
that's right.
That the love grew
or
then.
Met another man who had a similar condition.
Correct.
Which she did, but she didn't like him.
Okay.
She wanted to go for the full-grown, balls in your mouth guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she wanted a man's guy.
He's from England. He seems like a very perfectly lovely human being, this guy that she's dating right now. But I have some real questions about his motives.
Yeah.
Because if I go to a blind date, and an 11-year-old shows up, right? I'm waiting for someone to put me in handcuffs. First of all. Second of all, I don't think I could get past it.
No.
I really don't.
I don't think
I would
so
be
either.
Like, this is just all, this, all of it is creepy. And you're a lovely human being,
yes,
Shauna, but I got to go.
Friends.
Yeah, we can be friends, but I got to go. Like, right. I'm not going to be a part of the relationship where we get intimate.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's mind-boggling, actually. And I don't know why.
She has like reverse aging, is that right?
No.
Or she just never aged
she has some kind
past.
Of. She had some kind of cancer.
Okay.
It hit her pituitary gland.
Yep.
It stopped all the hormones.
She stopped growing.
She just stopped growing.
Okay.
Altogether when she was like 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks like an 11-year-old. Besides some extra aging in the face, like maybe the smile lines and stuff, you would not be able to tell the difference between a 10-year-old and her. And her parents have her so smothered, understandably.
Yes.
They're scared for everything. They're really helicopter parents. They have smothered this girl to the point where she cannot exist outside of her home. Basically, in my opinion, she just learned how to drive. She has no idea how to make ends meet. She doesn't live on her own. She's very childlike in her maturity level too, because her parents have not allowed her own life.
Yeah.
So she acts like a child. She sounds like a child. And she looks like a child.
Well, can you imagine if Matthias just stayed the way he was?
Oh, my God. It'd
forever?
Be a nightmare. Why? Why?
Well, it would be hard to let him out into the world.
Why?
And show him how to do his online banking.
Chrissy, I like... He's in this phase right now. He's such a smart human being. And I like to talk to about my children a whole bunch descriptively. But he's such a... You've met him. He's such a smart human being. Like, honestly, he's probably smarter than I am. He's gifted in some kind of way.
Yes.
He's so smart. And so, therefore, he wants to understand how everything
ticks.
Very
curious.
He wants to know the tick and the talk of everything. And I understand that every parent goes through this with toddlers. Or toddlers.
For sure.
The why stage.
Mm-hmm.
But this kid takes it next fucking level. I'm sleeping the other night. I'm sleeping in a separate bed because Astrid's pregnant. The two children want to crowd the bed. And we're trying to give everybody a little bit of breathing room.
Yes.
So that there's some comfort for Astrid. So I'm sleeping in this... single, like, you know, this bed that's made for children, and I'm sleeping in it
right
at the end of the bed. My lovely, comfort king, super soft, extra special mattress that I paid $12,000. I'm still paying it off. I bought it 10 years ago. It's lovely. And I'm sleeping down at the end on a pullout bed. And so, but Matthias, if he gets up in the middle of the night, he wants to come with daddy. Right. So now it's him and I trying to fit on a bed that's clearly only made for him. So last night, it'll happen in the middle of the night, but I'm just praying that it happens later and not sooner so I can get some kind of sleep.
Right.
So it's 2 a.m. I can hear him rustling and I'm like, fuck, here he comes. And then he crawls down to the end of the bed and he jumps in and I'm like, okay, buddy, just, go wrap up, lay down, let's go to sleep. Why? And I'm like, why? Because it's nighttime. Dad, why is it nighttime? I'm like, because that's what happens. He goes, Dad, where did the light go? And I go, what light? And he goes, the light bulb. And I'm like, what light bulb are you talking about? And he's like, the light bulb in the sky. I go, that's the sun. Why what? Why do they call it the sun? I don't know. They call it the sun. 2:30 in the morning! Put it in Chrissy's notebook and I'll answer it later. Oh, I forgot. Chrissy's notebook is nowhere to be found. Why, Dad? Why? Because we're lazy. You'll understand it when you get older. You do just what you have to get by.
That's right.
And that's all. There's one thing I want to give to my son. It's my knowledge that just getting by is perfectly okay. You don't have to excel at anything. Commercial break is proof.
That's right. But again, what if Matthias never grew?
If he never grew.
Like from now, from right now.
That would be disturbing.
Right.
Yeah, that would be disturbing.
It would be hard to let him out of the house and, date grown women.
If Matthias was looked like he does now
yes,
and acted like he does now, brought a 35-year-old woman to the house, I'd probably go, thank God. Here's the keys to my car. Here's the keys to the apartment. He's going to ask a lot of questions, but it's all good. Don't worry about it. Good for you. That would be disturbing. And you're right. Maybe it's, I can't put myself in these parents' shoes because I'm not living that existence.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine after going through a massive battle with cancer and your child is sick, there's a real mama bear, papa bear instinct. Anybody who has children or anybody who is a stepmother or stepfather to children understands that you grow this instinct to want to
protect
and do anything you can to make sure that they don't get hurt in any way. Mm-hmm. And you hate to see them in any kind of pain. So I think thinking about this, as a parent, these two parents are really just trying to protect her from the worst of what society has to offer. They also,
because there's some bad people out there.
There's a ton of bad people out there, and there are good people who do bad things. Mm-hmm. I was saying this the other night about a specific situation. It's all well, fine, and good until it's not, and all it takes is the hot
it's very profound.
It's usually profound.
It's all great until it's not, Brian Green.
Hey, girl, let me make a call. Just reading here, Leviticus 34.6.7/.org/35, where Moses said to Cain and Abel, it's all good until it's not. So in preparation for the other shoe dropping, I thought you could send me some pussy pics.
Oh my god! Yes, very girl, profound.
Thank you, girl. I got loads of them. Here, let me turn to page 44 in my Bible.
What was the one I sent you earlier today? Because I was scrolling on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. I love those Instagrams.
And I came across a model who had, thong pictures and, just total.
Hey, Chrissy, I just wanted to let you know.
I know you know about those, Carl.
Piece of plastic over your boobs, it's technically not considered nudity.
Right.
I just learned that because I read the terms of service. While masturbating,
right,
to the bikini
model. It was a very profound statement.
Oh, yeah. What did you say? What was it, girl? Tell me.
It was, hold on.
It's in our text messages.
Oh, memories take us back. Dreams take us forward. Wow, here's my thong.
That's super. Here's my asshole. I can show my taint. Still technically okay. You know, girl, I got my pause fingers on point. You know what I'm saying? So when those girls flip and flop around and just show a little bit of choo-choo, I got my pause finger on.
That's right. Screenshot, quick.
I got my pause finger on fleek. As a matter of fact, I think I know the girl who wrote that. I think I wrote it for her. Here's another one. For either your musician friend who keeps talking to people in his reels, or for your Instagram models, it all good till it ain't.
It's all good till it's not.
It all good till it ain't. But it, like, one stupid decision, you know, changes everybody's life.
It does.
It's a butterfly effect. I have to believe that these parents are doing what's best, that they think what's best for their child. But it's clear now that she's older and desperately wants to have her own life. She has no clue how to do that because her parents have never given her that chance.
Did she go to college?
This is coming from the guy who still has all five of his children sleeping in the bed, and I am now sleeping on a cot. Yeah, sleeping on a jail cot down at the bottom of the bed. I'm just waiting. Next is going to be a hammock strung from one side of the closet to the other.
Exactly.
It's like the villages. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Yeah. Okay, so let's get to something actual.
Okay.
There have been a ton of people that have been blowing up the phone line, and I'm so appreciative of it. I love it. I've been doing a lot of the responding, and someone here always responds, but a lot of times I'll get on late at night, you know, high and drunk and waiting for Matthias to come into the single bed I'm sleeping in. And I'll respond, and I just love our listeners because I think they're great. And a lot of them will straight up tee up and ask TCB question. So we've done this from time to time, and I think we've done it quite a bit in season three, actually. We've gone to the questions. I don't like them to linger too long. But some I just kind of put them aside for a minute because they're sex-driven questions. They're like sex-oriented advice questions, and I thought I'd put them all together. And because we don't talk about sex a lot on this show.
No, barely ever.
I mean, if you go on that website that rates podcasts by the content, like, it puts a transcript of the podcast together and then it will rate it. Like, there's 35 different categories: violence, guns, sex, drugs. And then when you talk about drugs, it'll name the drugs that you're talking about. So cocaine, mushrooms, acid, LSD, you know, all this other stuff. When you look at our line for sex, it is so far in the red, it can't go any further. And there's, like, of the 287 episodes that we've put together or whatever it is, 265 of them have been marked red for sex.
I'm sure.
I don't know how this became a sex show, but
that's why I tell my mother-in-law, please don't listen.
No. Thank God my parents, my father-in-law and mother. Thank God my mom doesn't know how to use a podcast. My dad got sick of it the second he started listening to it.
Yeah.
And my other two in-laws don't understand English so good. So I thought we would do an Ask TCB the Sex Files edition. So without further ado, I was trolling on my cell phone.
As you do.
As I do like to do. Hello, all my friends out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Commercial Break. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or content ideas, send them to 1-855-TCB-8383. Toll free from anywhere in the world, 855-TCB-8383. Make sure to visit our YouTube channel, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Full episodes air a few days after they do here on the audio feed, and starting in season 4, the same day. You can go to the TCB Podcast website at tcbpodcast.com. Hear all the audio and watch all the video. You can also contact us all from tcbpodcast.com. Please follow us at The Commercial Break on Instagram, and feel free to use our specialized URLs and or codes when you hear them on the commercials. Speaking of those sponsors, let's take a moment, hear from them, and we'll be back to this episode of The Commercial Break. All right, everybody, I gotta let you know about our wonderful sponsors, Lululemon. Last week, I stopped by the Lululemon store to get myself a pair of joggers. You think Lululemon is just for yoga pants? You are wrong, just like I was. Lululemon can accommodate almost any piece of your wardrobe, and they do it in style and in comfort. It's the most cozy, the most comfortable, the most flattering, active and casual wear you will ever purchase. And now, Lululemon is a sponsor of The Commercial Break, so go to Lululemon.com. Lululemon.com this holiday season, their website has hundreds of different styles for men and for women. Jackets, slacks, hoodies, sweatshirts, socks, underwear, and yes, activewear. It's all available at Lululemon.com. Guys, don't be shy. I swear, these are the most comfortable pants I have ever worn. I'm saying it again. Never did I picture myself a Lululemon kind of guy, and now I'm sold for life. Chrissy got a jacket. She's in love with it. Astrid's ordered some apparel for after the baby comes, and now I am eyeing some slacks for Christmas. So go to Lululemon.com. Get comfortable. Get cozy. Get Lululemon in this holiday season for anyone who needs a little comfort in their life. Lululemon.com, and we want to thank Lululemon for becoming a sponsor of The Commercial Break.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
I've got a couple listeners that have questions. You want to answer them?
Yes.
Let's go for it.
Let's do it.
Okay, the first one, I'm not going to name names here because unless they've given me express written consent to do so, I am not going to name the names. I am in a monogamous relationship with a man, though I am also attracted to women. My man does not know this, but I have dated at least four women in my life, and I quite enjoy that kind of sex.
And this person is a woman.
This person is a woman. Recently, my man has been hanging out with a new group of work friends. One of the women in the group and I flirt every time we are together. Late last week, we had his company Christmas party, and after and at the
after party,
and she says that they went to the after party.
After the party is the after party.
That is where the real cocaine comes out.
That is,
yeah. You're just doing bumps in the bathroom.
Exactly.
You're just doing bumps in the bathroom until you get to the after party, and then there's usually a mirror out somewhere,
exactly.
And one guy that's just hanging out a little too much in front of the mirror. That would be Brian. Hey, Brian, come out here and drink a beer and smoke a cigarette with us. Nope, protecting the pile of cocaine. Tasting it every few minutes to make sure that it's okay for everybody else. Late last week, we had his company Christmas party, and at the after party, this woman offered me a bump, and we went into the bathroom at his house. We took a bump, and we immediately started to kiss and make out. I cut it off after a few minutes, and we walked back into the party. My man was none the wiser. But this week, the woman contacted me on my Instagram and wants to hang out alone with me soon. I am tempted to do this, but I don't want to hurt my man's feelings. We haven't been together that long. I don't see marriage or children in the future. What should I do?
That was one of my questions. How long have you been together?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, you should offer him a position in the situation.
Exactly.
That's the easiest thing to do.
Exactly.
I mean, what guy's going to turn you down? I wonder what capacity the woman who works with him works with him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Is it like a boss or a manager?
Or is
it someone under him? Yeah. Is it equal?
Mm-hmm.
That's an important question, and I'd love to hear that part of it. But just with the information that we have so far, you know, if you're into it, like offer him an opportunity to get into bed. Because as we've said many times on this show, when it's a man and two women, the man will eventually fall out.
Yes.
It's just the thing. And probably not too long afterwards. 5-6 minutes. I mean, how long could the guy go? He's got two beautiful women stroking his cock. I mean, it's going to last for a few seconds. That's it. Don't worry about it.
It might be awkward for him at the workplace. Is the thing.
Might be. So, yeah, you got to be careful about workplace rules.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if there's workplace rules that say that you cannot fraternize with other employees, then you have to lie about it. So make sure that right. you got your story straight. That's what I do. Taking advice from old Uncle Brian.
Which clearly didn't apply to radio sales.
No, it didn't apply to Clear Channel. No, please. I one time went and told the HR director about something and she was like, and?
Yeah.
And I was like, this girl just grabbed my balls and you didn't like it? And I'm like, what kind of Fortune 50 company are you running here?
Yeah, clearly didn't apply in sales, advertising sales.
Yeah, you got to be mindful of all that workplace bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say be honest with him. And does he know that she likes women?
No, he doesn't. She doesn't know. He doesn't know that she likes women. He doesn't know that she dated women. And he doesn't know that. Yeah, that's what she said at the beginning. She says, my man does not know this, but I have dated at least 4 women in my life, and I quite enjoy that type of sex.
All right. Well, so there's not too much of upfront honesty going on.
No, there's there's zero communication going on in this relationship. So, I would say throw it in the trash. Yeah. Ghost him. You know what I would do? I'd wait till the next Christmas party and show up with her instead of him. That's what I would do. That's how you get them talking. And don't worry about it because you're not employed there. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is like this, you know, on all fronts.
I'd hang out.
Yeah. On all fronts, it sounds like you're not that interested in this guy.
Yes.
Because if you were, and listen, you could be, I don't know from personal experience, but I know from talking to people and hearing from people here at TCB and my personal life. You could be attracted to men and women at the same time.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't sound like you're giving this guy any level of respect that's due a true relationship. I mean, come on. You're making out in the bathroom. You're doing bumps behind his back. You won't tell him the truth about who you've dated. You're hiding this relationship, this secret relationship. It sounds like you are not interested, and that's okay. Not everyone's going to be a winner. You're gonna date a lot of people, and you're only going to really like one or two of them. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, I think back, how many people have actually liked, people who have dated me actually liked me? I know of one. And it's wearing thin with her. So there you go. Yeah, I think it's clear that you're not all that interested in this guy, but you are interested in this
girl. And the girls, to see where that goes.
See where it goes. Send us pictures.
Yeah.
That's...
on Instagram.
TCBpodcast.com. Yeah, tag us on Instagram. Then that way, we'll at least have made one post in 2022. Astrid's like, I got an idea for the first post back for season number 4. I'm going to, you know, the Instagram thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great. And she's like, what we have to do is we have to find a street with Bill. And I'm like, already out. I'm out. What are you talking about? If it doesn't happen in this studio and I can't write it down on this piece of paper.
I know. How many pictures have I taken? I'm going to post that.
Oh, my God, never Chrissy. Did. Every once in a blue moon, Chrissy starts taking pictures of the television set. Drives me crazy. I'm like, what are you doing? We're doing a show. She's like, I have to post
for
this.
Instagram.
I post this.
Then I don't.
Yeah, you don't.
I forget about it.
Because you don't write it down in the notebook. With the notebook, it's 52 miles away right now. It was here in a car for a moment, and then it got further away.
I'm taking out the notebook when I get home.
Oh, my gosh. You know what you should have just done when you had it in the car that one day?
Just
you should have just brought
it
back
in.
That's right.
I just didn't.
Okay. TCB, I'm a 25-year-old female living at home with my parents while I get my master's. I consider myself attractive. I've never had any trouble getting a lover or a date. I'm confident. I know what I want in love and in the bedroom. However, the pandemic has made me just a bit nervous. I feel out of practice. While I really want to get laid, I don't have the drive to overcome my fear of being a rusty lover.
Oh.
Any advice?
Get back in the game.
Oh, girl, do I have some advice.
Hey, girl. I don't know what your name is. Let's call you Linda Sue. Hey, Linda Sue, it's me. And I know what it takes to get a rusty lover back in shape. It takes a little bit of horn grease. It takes a little bit of horn grease, and I think you start off slow. You got to dip your nipple back in the water. here's here's how you do it. Send your photographs to 1-855-TCB-8383. You got to first start with the phone sex, and then you move on from there. You know what I'm saying, Chrissy?
I know what you're saying.
Like a couple of videos of you masturbating. Send them to me, and I'll drop some cash off at your house. And then the next step is we meet in a park and make love while other people are photographing us and behind my wife's back. This is an easy one. In order to loosen you up from your rusty love.
Yeah, you gotta get back a little bit. Yeah, get back
it.
In there.
That's it. Here's the crazy
get
part.
Get back in the game. Try it. If you're rusty, you're rusty, but you won't. You're going to become more rusty.
Yeah, you're going to become more rusty if you just wait. Yeah, if you have no trouble getting a date or a lover and you really want to get laid, go get laid.
Yeah, get a practice.
In the history of conversations about people getting laid, I've never met an attractive woman who might have a problem getting laid.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In that sense, go to a bar with some of your friends. Find a guy that you like and you trust. Spend some time with him. If you like him, sleep with him. If you want to do it, sleep with him. And that way, you're not showing your rusty lover skills to anybody that you know or particularly care about at
that
moment.
That's what I'm saying. Get a practice.
Yeah, and by the way, everybody's been through the same thing. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you could just do a little sexting back and forth with somebody. You know what I'm saying? Do a little sexting, a little masturbation, a little mutual masturbation. Did I tell you the story about how I met this woman? I was dating a girl. I met a woman through this girl. Like, we all hung out a couple of times, right?
Yeah.
It was a friend of this woman that I was dating. I broke up with the woman that I was dating. And then this girl, let's call her Linda Sue. Linda Sue started messaging me about 5 months later. And she was like, oh, hey, I saw that you did this. And I was really interested in what you thought about that. And are you reading this book? This is back when I was sitting on the mountaintop with my Buddhist robes on. Posting on Facebook every 3 days.
Like, it's all good until it's not.
When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at start to change. Two Facebook likes. I was one of them. Chrissy was the other.
Yes.
So she started talking to me about all this stuff. We connected. She's living out in the desert somewhere in a trailer taking nude photographs. I'm not even sure what the girl was doing at the time. It was really weird. She started sending me nude photographs at some point. It went from 0 to 100 in a minute.
Wow.
It was all about Eckhart Tolle for like 2 weeks. And then it was all about her labia for the next year, right?
Yeah, that was her in.
Yeah.
Was the
Eckhart Tolle.
Spiritual.
She went in with the heart wants what the heart wants, and she came out with my pussy needs to be crammed, right?
I mean, yes.
It was like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But I rolled with it because I was single and ready to mingle, and who cared, right? And so she starts sending me these sex messages. And what I start noticing about the pictures that she's sending me is they're very artsy, right? But they're graphic, and the more that I look at the photographs, the more I realize that it's almost impossible, because at this time we didn't have phones that would have a timer on your phone. It was almost impossible for me to understand how exactly she was taking these photographs by herself. Until one day she sent me a photograph and there was a dude in a mirror behind her, and he also had a half hard. He was like stroking himself while he was taking the picture. So I knew I was in for a wild ride with this girl.
Right.
Anyway, listen, we were just communicating. I didn't get all upset about the other guy. I didn't give a shit, right?
Yeah.
But then she insists on coming in town. And I was like, yeah, sure, come on in town. And she came in town, and I happened to be somewhere else. I wasn't able to pick her up from the airport, but I give her the address. I leave the door open to my old apartment. And when I come in the door, she is sitting on my couch. Sans pants, zero pants, like vagina hanging out. And the second that she sees me, she stands up, she gives me a hug, and she's like, I really want to masturbate with you right now. And
okay.
I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, you whack
what do you
off,
think I, mean?
I whack. Yeah, she was like, you whack off, I whack off, we do it together. I just want to watch you, you watch me. And I was like, wow, this is really, yes, of course.
Of course.
Yes!
Exactly.
Crack me a Bud Light. How fast do you think you can do it? I can go pretty quick. You might be going a little longer than I will, but hey, whatever.
And it looks like things worked out with that relationship.
Yeah, things work out great. As evidenced by the next 26 women that I dated. I went right back to the other girl I dated in the first place. That girl was, I appreciated the confidence she had in her own sexuality.
Yeah, of right? course.
It was like my really, it was my real first experience with a woman who was, who in my opinion, was absolutely sexually yeah. liberated. And there was something about that, there was a little bit scary.
Of course.
Because I had never met a woman that I hadn't seen in 6 months and had never seen under any like sexual premises. Just, I walked in and there she is with her pants off, ready to whack it. And I was like, this
is. Get a knife behind yeah, her back.
This
too.
Is scary and awesome. I know, that's what I was afraid of. I've got rabbit head stew cooking now. Start stroking that shaft. Grow a leg and jizz on me. On my tits. Oh, that was the other thing. It was like, you got to jizz on my tits. You got to jizz on my tits. And, but she was like, there was something that was super sexy about it.
Of course, the confidence.
Super scary about it. It would, but I.
It was new territory.
I loved it. I thought yeah. it was awesome. I loved it.
And good for you, Brian.
Yes. So ever since then, I've just cowered in the corner every time I have a sexual experience, waiting for someone, liberated woman, to come get me. Yeah, listen, there's no other advice to give you except you got to get back on the horse and ride, literally and figuratively.
Yes.
Get back on that horse and ride. Okay, ready?
Yes.
Hi, Brian, and hi, Princess Chrissy.
Ooh, princess.
My boyfriend and I have been together for 9 months. He's a top and I'm a taker. He is super cute, right out of a Banana Republic ad, and I am a super freak. I have more piercing holes on my body than actual holes my man has been inside on other bodies. Well, there you go. That's highly descriptive. But opposites attract in this situation, and I love his sensitive little personality. He feels all the feels, and he feels it for both of us. Anyway, cool. Gross.
Sounds great.
I got all sappy. One thing has been getting in the way for us for sure, and that's the sex.
Oh.
He has a great member, and it's lovely, and it's adorable. Anybody that calls my cock lovely and adorable is finding the way out the exit. Like, if you walked in and were like, hey, you want to whack off with me? What a cute cock you have. That's therapy right there. That's therapy. Don't ever call someone else's penis adorable. He has a great member, and it's lovely, and it's adorable, but it's not very big. And I like it big, like fist-sized big. The bigger, the better. I want to feel it, and I want to feel it deep. But I just haven't had the balls to tell him that I need more. I bought an 8-inch dildo for us to play with, and he got very defensive about it. I really wanted to buy the 12-inch, actually. I just don't know how to cross this bridge. We listen to your show sometimes on Saturday mornings. Maybe you can tell him in your super funny way. We call him affectionately Stu. Take it away, TCB.
Well, I was going to say there's toys for that.
Stu? He wants a big, fat, fucking cock.
Yeah, go for it, yeah. Stu. Get
and
in
he's
there,
willing Ruth. To look past the fact that Matt may not be attached to your body. He just needs some other appendage
yeah.
to help him get off. And I don't
Her.
See anything wrong with. No, this is two guys.
Oh,
this
him.
Is two guys. He's
Got
a
it.
Top. Because it says right here.
Gotcha.
Right? He refers to himself as a he, and he says, he, my boyfriend and I have been together for 9 months. He is a top,
okay.
and I am a taker.
Okay, got it. Got it. Yeah, just, I mean, yeah. come on, Stu. Get in the
yeah,
game.
Yeah, Stu, get in the game, buddy.
Sounds like you've got everything else going for you. Be
yeah.
open.
Chrissy and I have lots of dildos here in the studio that we use for lots of different purposes. There's nothing to be afraid of. It's,
no.
you know, sometimes you need it small and sometimes you want it big. That's just the way it is. Some people yeah. are made differently than others. And
sounds like everything else is working.
Yeah,
in the relationship.
They love each other.
I mean, you
apparently.
Made it past the 6 month mark, which is yeah. a sign.
If you make it 6 months and you guys are complete opposites, he's like an Abercrombie and Fitch model, and the other guy is like, you know, something straight out of a Seattle's coffee house in 1993. Like,
yeah.
these two are meant to be together because opposites really yeah. do attract in a lot of ways.
Very true.
And there's one opposite that you cannot correct yourself because that's just the way you were made. And that's okay.
That is okay.
Listen, join the small penis club. It's all right. Sometimes you need toys in the bedroom to help you out. There's nothing to be ashamed of
nope.
there.
Nope.
And who knows? You may find it to be fun.
Communication is key.
Communication is key. So, yep. Stu, you know, someone has a hole that needs filling, and unfortunately, yeah. you're not able to do it. You got to find a way to get it in there. Have you? I think I asked this question before. Have you ever, not Jeff, but have you ever been with a man whose penis just was never going to do it for you? Like, it just for whatever reason. Too small, curved to the left. Just, it was like, that's not going to do it for me.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you say? Like, what is there to say?
Yeah, yeah. You got to talk about it.
You got to talk about it, or this is eventually going to end in a bunch of frustration for everybody.
Right.
Right? I mean, I've actually heard, you know, that conversation before.
I think that this openness of the communication comes with age, unfortunately. You know, back when you're young, you're so self-conscious, you know, and you're also self-conscious about maybe hurting someone else's feelings.
It's true.
But really, the truth is, if you just talk about it and you both are on the same page, you can figure out a way to work through it.
1,000%.
Sex-wise.
That's actual good advice right there.
If everything else is
working. The sex is bad.
That can be fixed.
Yeah. You just got to figure out how to tell each other what exactly you want. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're Irish Catholic and then you take a strict no talking and no coming position. Your pull-out game better be strong. You know what I'm saying? I think this is a relatively easy one to fix here. And I think you just got to...
Be open,
and because your man is, and he needs something else to fill that openness. He needs to fill the void with something, and you're not doing it. And that shouldn't make you feel embarrassed. That should make you feel happy that your man is willing to work through your, not shortcomings, but your differences in how you like things. You know, 6 inches may be good for some, but it's not good for your boy. So just, you know, go get a big dildo, and when you're done, get him off, I guess.
Yeah.
Is it something like that?
Sure.
Reach around. Whatever's going on in that bedroom, have fun. Okay. One more.
Okay.
One more, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do next. Are you ready?
Yes.
BNK, how are you? Best to you. Well, best to you. Her name is Kelly. Hi, Kelly. How are
What's
you doing?
Up, Kelly?
From wherever you are. My name is...
I thought we weren't saying names.
She asked. She said we could say her name, so that's why. Yeah, I actually corresponded with her. Yeah, yeah. I didn't even write the names down on this piece of paper unless they said it, because I was like, I know I'm going to say the name. Thank you very much. My name is Kelly. I live in the Midwest. I love your show. I am 35 years old, and I have 2 children, and my husband wants a third.
Oh.
However... At 35 years old, I'm not sure that I want to go through another pregnancy, and I have a more pressing issue that I feel we need to address. I want a sister wife. What in the fuck?
Whoa.
Is going on?
I didn't expect that.
I didn't expect that either. And I've read this, and I didn't expect it. I just remembering. I put these all together, and then I just remembered that this one was on there.
Does she want a sister wife to have the third child?
She wants a sister. I want a sister wife. I did not grow up around this type of polygamy. I have no
polygamy.
Polygamy. I have no idea what I say.
You said polygamy.
I did not grow up around palladiums.
Polygamy.
Palindromes. I did not grow up around polygamy. I have no idea about this lifestyle. The only thing that I know about sister wives is from television shows that I have seen. I have seen them too. And conversations with others online. I find this to be very important for me to fulfill my life's purpose.
Really?
How do I convince my husband that this is the right thing to do, because he has zero interest in finding a sister wife?
I can imagine.
Looking for your advice. Love, Kelly.
Wow. Tricky.
This is the second time in TCB history that we have had somebody that is looking for our advice, and they are pro sister wives. Do you remember this?
Okay.
There was like another girl whose best friend met a guy, and that guy wanted her to be a sister wife. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
This was, you know, you don't remember that. Okay. If you had the notebook, you could write it down.
No, sorry, I was thinking about the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because don't do this. Yeah, no. What are you fucking thinking? Well, if you're watching these television shows.
I'm just wondering the reasoning behind.
She doesn't get into it here, right? She doesn't get into all of the reasoning.
But she says she's in that lifestyle, then for her to want this could maybe mean something more to do with the marriage, because if she doesn't, she kind of wants to pass the husband off to somebody else.
Seriously. Maybe she doesn't believe in divorce, and she's just ready to get her husband off of her back, right? One of the two.
Get out.
But she says
go with another woman.
She needs it to to fulfill her life's purpose. What is your life's purpose? Being fucking miserable and sharing a dick with another woman? Like, okay, if that's what you choose to do when you're single and ready to mingle, I get it. Go for it, right?
Sure.
It's all about it. But you have two children and a husband, and your husband is saying, I do not want to take on another
wife.
Now, it sounds to me like you're having problems in your marriage.
I think so.
Because in our opinion, and I know this is not true of everybody, but let's say that 90% of the time, in our opinion, in our experience, we've talked about this a lot on this show, polyamory is French for my relationship's not working out.
Right.
That's what it is.
I need something else.
I need something else. I'm bringing it in from here. I'm finding this girl over there. I don't understand it. I don't get it. And if you watch the same television shows I watch about sister wives, they are all divorced.
I saw a thing in the news today about that with the woman, Christina, or something, where she said, I'm not leaving the show. But we're getting divorced.
Yeah, of course she's not leaving the show. It's her bread and butter. It's the way that she's going to make money. And listen, I have never watched that stupid show more than a couple of episodes here or there until this last season when two of the five wives have decided to leave him, which I think is wonderful because I think the guy is a total fucking douche canoozle.
Yeah, he is.
And he was never...
Cody.
Cody. Anybody named Cody has issues. That's all I got to say. I don't know that to be true, but it just sounds, Cody sounds like one of those names. If you're Cody and you have sister wives, you got mental issues. This guy's got a Jerry curl 24 hours a day. He's literally permed his hair.
Doesn't he do multi-level marketing?
He does. That's what he does. He's a multi-level marketer. He is such a bad polygamist that he got kicked out of the polygamist community in Salt Lake City. He can't go back. They hate him. Why? Because he's showing all his shit on TV and he's miserable at it. He pays no attention to any of them. He makes love to none of them. And all he does is just skirt responsibilities and conversations and communications. This guy is living in the lap of fucking luxury for a long time. And now the women have had their comeuppance. They have decided, enough of fucking this.
They're done.
We're done. Yeah. I'm sick of you just showing up at whichever house you want to, whenever you want to. This is what a douche this guy is. There's a lady, they bought a piece of land, or he said they bought a piece of land. I'm talking about Sister Wives, the show on TLC. They get kicked out of Utah, so then they go and buy a piece of land. I think it's in Arizona, wherever the fuck it is. They buy this piece of land in Arizona, and they're all going to build houses on this land.
Right.
It's like a huge piece of land. Cody says, we all need to live together as a family, so we're going to build one big, 75,000 square foot house, and you have this side of the house, and you have that side of the house, and all the women are like, no, 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 don't want to live with her, don't want to live with her.
Yeah.
They don't even like each other. And so Cody says, okay, let's split the land, and everyone can build their own house. Well, it turns out Cody never bought the land. He just borrowed it for a while, and he hasn't even paid it off yet. So there's a woman that's living in a fucking trailer because all she wants to do is live on this land. That's what was promised. That's what she wants to do. One of the wives, I forget her name, Mary, I think is her name. She wants to live on this land. So she puts a fucking trailer there with her daughter, and she's living in a camper with her daughter. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Cody can't live in the camper. Because it doesn't have enough hot water, it doesn't have a bedside table, the reading lamp's not in the right place. The girl is like a four-year-old schoolgirl. He has to have everything in its place or he's inconvenienced. Meanwhile, this woman who you promised a house is living in a fucking camper out in the middle of God knows where. So she gets an apartment, like an apartment in the college town. I think it's in Tucson or something.
Okay.
She gets an apartment and it's just an apartment. It's just an apartment. It's not a great apartment. It's not a fancy apartment. It's a college apartment is what it is. It's got one bedroom, a small bathroom, and a kitchen because she's listening to what he had to say. He didn't want to live in the camper. Well, he walks in and all he does, she's trying to move in and all he does is complain. Where's my reading lamp going to go? Where's my pants going to go? Where am I going to plug in my chargers? Where am I going to sleep when I'm really tired? This guy is like a fucking... He's the worst of the worst. And now they're all getting divorced. And I'm not saying that's your husband here, young lady. But here's what I am saying, Kelly. This never works out. Do you realize on those shows when they do that, My Sister Wives or My Next Wife or whatever it is, do you realize that they never have a season 2 with the same couples? You want to know why? Because they don't work fucking out. That's why. It's incredibly complicated to juggle an intimate relationship with just one person. If you're going to do it with two, you got to have fucking rocks in your socks. And Kelly, don't do this. You sound like a perfectly lovely person. You listen to the commercial break. Obviously, you got some problems, but you don't need another wife. You need to either get a divorce or figure out what's wrong with your relationship and fix it.
I would address the reasoning behind it. But the life's purpose part is very interesting.
Life's purpose.
Because if it's religious, then maybe...
But she said, I didn't grow up like that. I'm not in that religion. It's not a religious thing.
Well...
Yeah. It's totally confusing. You got to give us more color commentary on this, Kelly, first of all. Second of all, I'm telling you, you're heading down a road of fucking misery. A
complicated road.
Yeah. And now we've talked to people who have polyamorous relationships, not sister-wife type of relationship, but polyamorous relationships that are working out.
Yeah.
And so it does work. But you know what? They only see each other every once in like 4 months. So
that's true.
It's not like they're trying to live together.
Well, we do know those other people that live, they moved the person in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, they're unique.
Yeah.
They're unique birds.
Yeah, they're unique birds. They also listen to the commercial break. All y'all got screws loose. That's all I got to say. Chrissy and I are the only sane ones in the commercial break universe. All right. Everyone settle down. Ask TCB. You too can ask TCB anything you want to. Just ask us. And we've had a couple questions like, when are you going to stop doing the commercial break? What? I had a question that said, when are you guys going to start being funny? I need your advice. I listened to a horrible podcast called The Commercial Break. When will they start being funny?
Nice.
You know, with success comes haters.
One can always hope.
We've got 15 listeners now.
Yep.
At least most of them don't like us. 8 of them don't like us, but we got 7 that are on our side, Chrissy.
Yeah, that's true.
Kelly, I don't mean to be harsh, but I don't mean to be harsh on you, but something doesn't make sense here about this question.
Yeah.
So write us back in. 1-855-TCB-8383. That's 1-855-TCB-8383. Toll free from anywhere in the world. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. You can send them all via text message, or you can call and leave a voice message. If you're brave, we might use your voice on air. 2 things I want to remind you about. If you have lied or embellished on your resume, send us that. I want to hear that story. And if you'd like your 21 EPM sticker, they're going out right at the beginning of season number 4. Just send us a message with your address and your full name, and we'll send you that 21 EPM sticker coming up here in the next, in about a month. TCBpodcast.com. I promise this one is actually happening. You want to know why? Because Astrid is doing it.
Yes.
Anything Astrid's doing is going to work out just fine. If it has to do with Chrissy and I, forget about it. TCBpodcast.com. Hit the contact us button. You can do the same thing. Give us your address and your name. Tell us you want a 21 EPM sticker and we'll send it to you. Let's see how many of those we can get on the back of cars.
Let's do it.
I would love to be like taking a road trip somewhere and see a 21 EPM sticker.
Yes.
But you know, 15 people out of the 300 million that live here in the United States. We'll see. At the commercial break on Instagram. And I just wanted to let you know, Chrissy and I are going to take a short break in January. We're going to fill it with a couple of new live episodes and a couple of best of episodes narrated by some of the people behind the scenes here at the commercial break. So stay tuned. Season number 4 coming up the first week in February. Okay.
All right.
YouTube.com/the commercial break. That one. That's all I can do today, Chrissy.
I think so.
I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say and we must say,
goodbye.